نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في قرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد المعدن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله ألف ألف مرة. أما بعد، دوشي پڑھنے
Alhamdulillah. Every believer, after getting iman, after getting belief, faith, he has a desire. Every believer has a desire. He has a want. And that desire of the believer is that Allah, to all of us, Allah sends us all into paradise. Every believer has this desire. Every person has this dream, this target. And we have this, as I said, it's a desire that we have, it's a yearning that we have inside our hearts. And alongside this, each person according to his strength and ability, capacity, understanding, to attain that goal of paradise, a person's working hard, making effort. He does good deeds, he practices deeds according to his strength, according to his ability. Whenever a person does a good deed, even if you don't say it from the mouth, but inside you, you will have that desire, that passion, that Allah, please send me to paradise through this action. So this is for every man, every woman, every believing man, every believing woman has this desire. But you cannot just succeed based on desires. Until you don't work hard and make effort on your plans, Allah Ta'ala has told us the principle, وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah, if He wants, He can do everything automatically. The whole world, Allah can make the believers, the disbelievers can become Muslim. Allah has the power. He can do it within a second. No one can stop. All the disobedient people, Allah can make them obedient within a second. So Allah has the full power, control over the universe, over the people, over the human beings. But this is dunya, and this dunya Allah has made based on principles of resources and means and effort. And Allah has put us into this trial. And Allah says that I've given you your own free will and desires. You should work hard yourself to attain paradise. You should work hard yourself. So the person who makes effort and he takes steps and he works hard and sweats it out, Allah's promise is that وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلًا. Allah's promise that you take one footstep, two footsteps I'll come to you. Double. Allah says, just speak about, talk about starting. If the first time you crush the desires and you reject shaitan and you come to the masjid, once you come to the masjid, even by mistake, the rest of the salahs in your life I'll make you pray them. Allah says, I'll open the doors for you, the pathways for you, the routes for you. Allah's promised this. Subul, He didn't say subul, Allah says subulana. Now Allah didn't say one door, Allah said, I'll open up all the doors and pathways for you to make it easy for you to practice the deen. So after, despite all of this, then whose mistake is that? It's our own mistake that we don't work hard. We don't make the effort. We want that automatically we'll get success in this world and hereafter. That I want to go into paradise easily. Bless, just do dua for me. Do dua for me. Pray for me. That's just become a routine statement. Oh, please remember me in the duas. Remember me in your duas. Remember me in your duas. And this has become, when you meet someone, remember me in your duas. Do dua for me. He's not going to do dua for you. He's not going to remember you. Rather, he's just saying, oh, please do dua for me. Please do dua for me. Despite the fact that masala is this, that when a person says to you, do dua for me, it's lazim, it's a compulsory, then you have to do dua for that person. So remember this. When you're saying to someone, do dua for me, think about that. So after salah, Allah Ta'ala, you should say, Allah, all those who requested me to do dua for them, Allah, please accept all of their duas. Otherwise, there'll be a debt on your head. A debt on your head. Remember this, not a joke. The dua miyad, dua miyad. Dua is a big action. It's the greatest act of worship. Dua, supplicating, pray to Allah, is the greatest act of worship. We made it a joke. Do dua for me, do dua for me, do dua for me. Allah will sort it out. So in the same way, that if we try, if we have the passion, determination, Allah will open the pathways for us, the routes for us. Okay, if we don't pray salah, at least maybe walk past the masjid, at least that Allah Ta'ala, it's hard for me to go inside, but I'll walk past your home, Allah. I'm going to buy the milk, I've taken this route. To buy the milk at the grocery shop, I've taken the route of going past the masjid. I told one brother this method and he started to pray salah soon enough. SubhanAllah, Allah said in the Quran that just a little bit come close to me and I will pull on you and drag you towards me, Allah says. So there are many ways, cures, if we really want it. So Jannah, we say, I want Jannah, Jannah, paradise, I want the highest rank. Jannah is made for us. Allah's made paradise for us. It's not made for the disbelievers. Who did Allah make Jannah for? For the people of Iman, for the people of belief. So the most of all, in Jannah, the people who will go into paradise, who will they be? The people who go most in percentage into paradise. Who will that group be? So think like this, and when we sit down in the day in Pakistan, how shall I make a house? I want 4 houses there, and that plot of land selling. How much is that yard? And you'll phone people up. Oh, I'm going to investigate and analyze the prices of the land. Have you ever sat alone and thought that yard? Let me think. That how can I go into paradise? Let me plot the route into paradise. Have I ever thought about this? It's about yaqeen. I've got belief in the dunya that I'm going to live here forever, but we don't believe that we're going to die and leave this world. We don't have belief in this. At least I should make a habit that sometime in the day, this is called muhasabah, reflection, self-assessment. Self-assessment, think about yourself, ponder over your own life. Where am I? What am I doing now? Where am I going? Where will I get to? Ask yourself, that I want to go into paradise. Let me think every day, what shall I do? What action shall I list out? Remember my words. If you think about this inside you, the answer will come. No need to consult with anyone to ask for the advice about what shall I do. Allah says the answer will come itself from within you inside. Self-reflection, if you do it, the answer will come to your heart. SubhanAllah. So this is totally reality, truth I'm telling you. That I tell you my personal experiences. That if I know I have to go, what shall I say tonight to the brothers? That I'm not open books, Sahih Bukhari, Muwatta Imam Malik, and study hadith, and then give a debate, a speech. That I don't come for speech, I come for dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. I've come here, my colleagues have come, okay, let's do some consultation, talk, discuss with each other. Maybe my sins will fall off, and maybe they'll get some determination. Passion. Otherwise, what can I say? What can I speak about here in this gathering? So thinking like this, I thought that I'll have a cup of coffee, then I'll think about what to speak today. Just take it easy, relax. That's what I do. That's how, that I always think, just, you know, cup of coffee, relax, make some green tea. I sit down, let me think now, the majlis is coming, let's have some tea, what will we discuss today? And then click, it comes to my mind, my heart, what to say. So this is what I'm discussing with you today, the same way I drank green tea when I got here, and the words came to me. The discussion. And I put some mint into the tea so that my mind can get a bit more fresh. Suppose I know that Iftikhar, he does this, mashallah. He's from long time, he knows the way, the method. So, Allah Ta'ala's every word, if we pay attention and think about Allah's advices, Allah loves us immensely. Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Just speak with me, Allah says, talk to me, Allah says. That you won't listen to your own words, Allah says, but I can hear your words. You are far from your own self, but Allah says, I am closer to you than your own self is close to you. Why do you ask other people advice? Look in your heart. Ask me to come to you. I will listen to you, Allah says. And Allah says, when you talk about meeting me, then I will listen to you so many times, Allah says. Then I will listen to you repeatedly, Allah says. Regularly. If you want to get close to me. So what is the deed? What is the action that will take us most of all, most of us into paradise? What is that deed? Think about it. Why? Why should we think about this action? We should think about this action for this reason, that if we think about the action, then we will go towards that action, and we'll plan that action. That action is the action that will take most percentage of people to paradise, so when we think about it, then we'll have a desire to do that, and then we'll do that action. It's a sequence, isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? So do you have that desire? Put your hands up if you want to. Let me see how many people have the desire to learn this action. Okay, mashallah, put your hands down. SubhanAllah. So all the people have come, come with a desire. Remember, you have to go back tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's the last day, yeah? Here. Everyone's got to go back. SubhanAllah. So you got the desire. Yes, what you made that intention. You've come here to learn. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. That means you have that desire that you want to practice that. So shall I tell you that deed? Yeah, that's what I thought. It's the greatest deed that will take most of the Quran tells us this, the hadith tells us this, the scholars have told us this, that this is the action that will take most people to Jannah. And if we have that determination, desire, we can start doing. Will we do that, my brothers? Inshallah. Then Allah says that when you try to practice this deed, Allah says, I'll open up the pathways for you and you'll get paradise then, automatic. So you get close to paradise then just by thinking. You think, I want to go London, when you go to the bus stop. You go to the bus stop and you don't just sit on any old bus, do you? Will you just sit on any bus that comes to the bus stop? You'll ask, which bus is going to London? That ask about the people. Ask that this bus is going. Then you'll sit on that bus, that coach. If you ask yourself, what's the path that can take me to paradise? When I learn that path, then I will start to travel on that path, won't I? Or will I not? Straightforward, isn't it? Easy formula. Easy formula. So we have made our own path. Do this, get to paradise. Do this, get to paradise. We've made our own routes and maps. No. Jannah, paradise, those people, most of all, will go to paradise. The highest percentage, proportion of what will be their action they'll do in this world, what is it that they're doing? Due to which that Jannah will be filled, alhamdulillah, with them. What is it? Those people will be those people, do they read the Quran most, the ulama, the scholars, the qura, the reciters of the Quran, is it? Will it be those people? No. What deed is it that most of all the people will go to paradise? Yes, with the great deeds, to reciting Quran, praying Salah, there's no doubt. These are great deeds. But at the end of the day, when those things will be reckoned, then they all will be at the back of the queue, those deeds. Because all these amal deeds will be weighed based on sincerity on the scale. Your Salah will be accepted, your Quran recitation will be accepted, all of your deeds and your Shahada will be accepted, then you'll go in paradise, isn't it, when you accept it. So to get that accepted, Allah has made a scale and Allah will put those deeds on the scale based on sincerity. Were these deeds for my sake or for the sake of the dunya? And then every one of us will fail, no doubt. All these ibadah and actions are high level actions that open the doors for paradise. Salah. Can anything compare to salah? Can anything compare to reciting Quran? Allah says that you keep reciting Quran and keep on increasing your rank in paradise. A hafiz of Quran, a memorizer of the Quran. Imagine his status in the hereafter. And even in the grave, you'll get the success. And great rewards you'll get. But you have to get to that level first. Yes, you have to become capable first to get to that level. So that deed, that at least it will testify and say, yes, he deserves this result. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this action, even carry on doing these actions, Quran, Salah, etc. But thinking at this, that Allah's mercy will send me to paradise, otherwise my deeds won't take me to paradise. Say SubhanAllah. It's Allah's mercy that will take me to paradise, not my actions. No, 500 years a man did ibadah on the mountain in the wilderness. 500 years he did worship on the mountain. In the wilderness, there was a jazeera, an island in the ocean. It's a hadith. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling his sahaba this hadith. So authentic. 500 years is not a joke. Small amount of time in isolation. And Allah allowed a tree to be grown there with pomegranates. He used to eat pomegranate. He used to take water from the fountain. He did dua to Allah that also when I die, let me to die in prostration. Sajda. And Allah accepted his dua. This was also accepted his dua. Allah gave him food, water after 500 years, sincere worship, mashallah, pure worship. He had all the deeds, righteous person, pious. Then he came. And death, he was in prostration, and then he was presented to Allah. Presented to Allah. And he said, okay, Allah said, have you come? And Allah said, send him into paradise. And then a thought came in his mind, this person, the worshipper, that my deeds, Allah didn't ask about my deeds. What about my deeds? What's the rewards I get for my deeds? Allah hasn't even asked me. SubhanAllah. The 500 years I did ibadah and all of these and Allah didn't ask me about my worship. He didn't tell me that I'm a special person, that I'm going to be sent to a special paradise. Allah said, bring this person back. Bring this person back. Bring this person back. And Allah said, what did you think? He said, Allah, I was thinking this point right now, that 500 years I worshipped you, I recited Quran, I recited the scriptures. Allah said, oh, you want to go into paradise due to your actions? But Allah, I must have some status in it, a little bit for my deeds. I'm not a normal person. Like, I can't just go with the normal people. I've done so much, he thought. Allah will say to the angels, that fine, take this person. First, I was sending him to paradise. Now I will send him that way. Okay, let's start his hisab. Let's start the accounts of his deeds. MashaAllah. So let's bring the scale of deeds. Allah said, bring his salah, bring his reciting Quran, bring all of this here in front of me. Allah said, okay, take his hisab, all his amal, put them on the scale. What was his hisab then? What was his weight? First of all, the hisab of the human being, general human being, is the how much were you grateful to Allah. Remember this. How much you were grateful to Allah. My finger's moving. My finger. Behind this, if you go into the research, go to the doctor who works with the fingers. He will say that due to this finger, you could get a heart attack. The connection of this finger, the veins, the blood, it goes to your heart. If you go to the eye doctor, optometrist, then he'll say 50,000, you could say, channels that are from the eye socket. Such sicknesses could come to your eye socket. It's so delicate. If it goes here or there, then your sight goes. It's a balance. Very delicate. Your eyes, in the morning we get up, we rub our eyes, we look at the ground, we have no gratefulness. Ask that person who doesn't have eyesight. Ask that person who hasn't got vision. I can't see. I'm blind. But we take it for granted. We are lying down healthy, and you learn a person was lying down and his mouth, it went bent. It bent, crooked, due to a stroke. Tell me, what happened to that person? What will he do now? Where will he get his health from? If you get, you're walking down the road and you just fall down and suddenly you get the stroke. Yeah? And I've told you these things we hear every day, but we're not grateful for what we have, the health before that. Allah says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah is complaining here to us that you are not grateful servants of mine for what I've given to you. So many treasures, bounties, gifts, rewards I've given to you. Allah says that you cannot be grateful for all of them. The four ibadah I give to you, I pray tahajjud. Allah, why didn't you give me this? Allah, I pray salah. One person came to me, he said, I pray salah every day, I do prayer, worship. Allah doesn't listen to my du'as. I said to him, you are a disbeliever then, if you are saying this. You are free from iman, if you are complaining. Straightforward, you are taking revenge on Allah, and you are complaining. One person to me, that I do this, I pray, I worship, I do wazaif, I do zikrullah, I get tired. My body is tired, worshipping, but none of my requirements, Allah is listening to me, Allah is not listening. No, I said, no, this is very bad. And he'll say that I want to go to paradise, and he thinks he's a Muslim. And he's complaining to Allah. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the thing that immediately my salah, I went there, I did dhikrullah, I went to a majlis. And why is my car got a puncture? Why is my car broken down? Whenever you do a good deed, then something comes to you, a problem. First of all, shaitan will take you towards the deeds that you do. He will say, oh, what about your salah? Why is Allah punishing you in the dunya? Why have you got hardship in the dunya? What about your prayer? Oh, that, for example, in the London, I want to go to Manchester. Then just stay here. So you're caught out, isn't it? This is shaitan. Shaitan. Tit for tat. With who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're complaining to Allah, taking revenge, making a fuss. So, Hafiz Saab, will you be able to reply? So many of our parts of our body working. Do you know your kidney? What it's doing? How it's functioning? What are your lungs doing? What is your liver doing? And urine, if you take water, a drop, a milliliter, where's it going? Down into your stomach, into your bladder. It could stop anywhere. If your urine is blocked somewhere in the body, that's it. Life will finish. You'll be shrieking, screaming, running to the hospital. My brothers, we should have faith in Allah, belief in Allah, strengthen our relationship with Allah. I swear by Allah, we don't have the relationship with Allah, our Lord. We have just one relationship. Allah, give me food in my stomach. I don't want anything else from Allah. Just stomach in my food. Food in my stomach. That's it. And most of all, everything, ibadah, worship, sujood, prostration we do, after that we want that mal and wealth and money should come in my life. My life should be improved. A car, a house, and then mashallah, people will praise me, and see a person, then you'll praise Allah, obviously, when he has all the wealth and the assets in the dunya. You'll praise Allah, of course. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, Allah says. That despite all of this, all of Allah's treasures and good health, then we should never ever complain on the treasures that Allah gives to us. Never make us, for example, Allah doesn't make us blind or disabled or with problems. All life long we disobey Allah. Yes, it's just a game. It's my career, my profession, 60, 70 years. People who come for tawbah and I enable them to do tawbah, to repent. So I see that no one listens. Rihad, what shall we do? I've done zina, adultery. What shall I do? I've done a sin again. I've committed a sin again. What shall I do? Tell me. Yes, and shaitan, he knows how to make a person fragile. But Allah says, Shadidul Iqab, when I grab a person, then no power of the dunya can stop the punishment coming to that person. No power of the dunya can stop it. Yes? So shaitan is very cunning and clever. He goes and he will make you satisfied based on the fact that you've got dunya and wealth and power and strength. But the friends of Allah, mashallah, they remind us, each every morsel of food that Wali Allah eats, he's grateful to Allah. Each every morsel of food, Allah, I'm eating this. Allah, it could stop here in my mouth. It could stop and get stuck in my throat. I could have a problem in the stomach and it could stop somewhere near. Allah, it's your mercy. Allah, that please allow this food to get to my stomach so it can be digested. Because the system is in your hand, Allah. You have made the principles. You have made the life cycles. We don't know. Nothing's in our control. No guarantee. Do you understand what I'm saying? To that small extent. So first the hisab will be, that person will be grabbed, is the ungrateful servant of Allah. And we've never thought, oh yeah, I've just done this, I pray to Allah. That person say this, I don't know what sin I've done. I've done du'as and Allah doesn't listen to them. Allah says, I know this, but you sat in front of me. Allah says, the sins that I can see, I can make you count them. Count them. That the things that I see, that you bring the paper and pencil and I will write it down for you. And he says that, I don't know what sins I've done. Allah is not giving the good things to me. I'm asking Allah. And I'm thinking to that brother, just bring the pencil and paper and I'll write the sins. I'm not saying to about a certain person. Every one of us is like this. I'm worse than that person. I'm worse than that person. So it's all of us in this. So it may not be that Allah puts us into a test, into a trial. And then we can't move one foot. Look at the Sahaba, the noble companions. Subhanallah. That Allah says their faces would shine in sujood, in prostration. Never did the Sahaba complain after they had one date in their diet. Never when they had just no clothes to put on their body did they cry and complain to Allah. They said no. All night long they'd stay in prayer, prostration, and their beards were wet with their tears. They'd get up in the morning and their faces were shining, glowing with the noor, with the light. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, Allah says in the Quran. What was it that they were grateful to Allah? And that a person says that I have no word, Allah has given to us so much. How can I be grateful to Allah? How can I be grateful to Allah? This was the Sahaba. They said, we have nothing to our name. Nothing. They've got no clothes. They're wearing dhoti. One sheet of cloth. They are sharing amongst each other. In the lower, below their waist, they're wearing their bodies. They've got no water to have a bath. And they sat on the raised platform, Ashab Sufa. And the Prophet ﷺ passes by. Who are these darvish? These people are sat here, my companions. And a unique scene came. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he's walking past. And he says, what are you doing, my companions? And they're suddenly taken aback. The Prophet has come. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. And they say, nothing, O Prophet of Allah. What a mistake have we made that you are surprised that we're sat here? Have we done something wrong? The Prophet said, what are you doing? That he was taken aback. He was a bit surprised. Looking at them. They said, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, we swear by Allah. We're not doing any other action. What are we doing? Is that we are just grateful to Allah. We're just grateful to Allah. What are you grateful for? How many days have you eaten? You haven't eaten food for days. You've got stones tied to your waist. And you've got no house to live in. You've got no roof above your head. You've got no water to drink, O Sahabi. You've got no clothes to wear. You're sharing the clothes. And you're saying you're grateful to Allah? What are you being grateful to Allah for? What are you grateful for? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are grateful to one thing. That you are our Prophet. And we have gained Islam in our lives. We are grateful for this. SubhanAllah, we eat chicken upon chickens, meat upon meat. And we said, this is our right. And 500 years, he said, that man, he did ibadah to Allah, 500 years. Allah said, go and join the line now. I will reckon your deeds. So think. Don't just stand suddenly from the bed. I'll tell you this. Not necessarily that Allah only knows Arabic. Allah knows English. Allah knows Persian. Allah knows Farsi. Allah knows Pashto. Allah knows Pakhtun. Allah knows all the languages. Whatever language you have, even if you're lying down on your bed, make a discussion with Allah. I'm millions of times grateful to Allah that my hands are moving, my body is moving, my limbs are moving, my organs are functioning, I'm watching, I can see. Allah, once my sight went, I'm telling the truth now, once I got up for the hajjud, and I said, what's going on? Where's the light? Has it gone? And I said, why can't I see? It's dark. I couldn't see. Allah shows then His glory and power and majesty. Allah said, see my servant? Where's your eyes now? Where's the light gone now? Where's your vision? Get up now. What Quran will you recite? What the hajjud will you pray? What will you do? Everything finished at that time. I couldn't see. Have you ever seen that in your life? I was amazed, I started shaking. The true story, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. I started shaking. Great experience, I couldn't see. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, with the barakah of my shaykh. I didn't think that Allah, I'm pious, I'm good, I'm peer sahab, shaykh sahab, I'm mazhab, I'll do many good deeds. How did this happen? No. I said, alhamdulillah, I started to think about my sins. The Allah, the friends of Allah, these are the gifts that you get by sitting with the walis of Allah. These are the gifts that you get. This is the gift you get. What else do you get? By sitting in the company of the wali Allah. Yeah, this is the punishment of my sins. I was grabbed hold by Allah. Allah grabbed hold of me. You know, sometimes it happens, maybe you're tired, you could say something wrong, or you could do something wrong. After that khair, alhamdulillah, I stood up, and I was fine. Allah gave the vision. But one thing I understood, the first do this, then what can you do, my servant? Allah says, then where are you? I can take anything away from you. And this can happen on any day. So, this was my regular habit. I wouldn't get up from the bed until half an hour. You do not praise Allah, don't get up from the bed. That's why I'm saying this to you, that make this a habit. Connect yourself to Allah. Become a grateful servant of Allah. Allah says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. When you get up with good health and you're grateful to Allah, Allah will give you better health after that. Better health after that. The vision of the eyes, you're scared and you ask Allah for more, He'll give you increased vision, stronger vision. That, for example, you know, the cancer, the disease, if due to the fear of cancer and you get up and you ask Allah and you do du'as, Allah will save you from thousands of cancers. This is the method that these sicknesses, diseases, to be saved from. That's why the walis of Allah, they have a very lengthy, mashallah, long plan they have. They do gratefulness to Allah, they show gratefulness to Allah, Allah keeps giving to them, keeps giving to them. Yes, they live properly, they eat properly, they wear properly. Rather in the parda, they think this very young, yaar, who is this person? They can't hear him, they can't see him, but they hear him, they say, him? This person, he hosts the dhikr. What's his age? Oh, I don't tell my date of birth to anybody. I don't tell my date of birth. That mashallah, I don't make that much friendship with the people. Just, I say, that's it, leave that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the grateful servant of Allah, that's what we should become. And Allah will promote you, promote you. This is the secret. Allah says, لَاِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَلَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. You are grateful to me, I will give you more. So you should be grateful for your body, for your limbs, for your organs, everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? The point I wanted to say is left, but my needle's gone somewhere else. No problem. But you've come for this reason, isn't it? You've come for this reason here. Yes. So here we talk good things in Manchester, the khanqah of my sheikh. So we have the good discussion here. Good discussion. MashaAllah, I am the guest of my sheikh here. This is his khanqah. MashaAllah, it's a great thing to be here. Look how the khanqahs have spread. Hazrat Sahib gave me the order, my sheikh. I said, what shall I do now, my sheikh? My sheikh said, go and teach dhikr, host dhikr. I said, this is here where I sit at home in the corner of my house and let's see what happens. So I started from there in the corner of my house. And people like you, monkeys like you, I met them, I was on my own before, alone. I sat there in the darkness, I put the lights off, I said, my sheikh has ordered me, alhamdulillah, if somebody comes or not, let me start doing my work myself. Belief, you should have belief when you do the work. You take the footsteps, Allah Ta'ala says, I will complete the action. So if I thought so many people there should be, I should have a gathering, I should have a khanka, not until today have I thought like this, no. So Madrasa Deoband, where did it start from? That the teacher sat under a tree, a darvesh, he opened the books, kitabs today in the whole world, the Deobandi ulama scholars. This is what happened, isn't it? No charity, no knocking on doors, no bedding, I'm finished, give me wheat and flour, children are hungry in the madrasa. Where's this system started going around the world asking people for charity? What's our hal? How are we going to spread Islam like this? Yes, we go around begging all year long, kids are in madrasa, raising funds for them, we need money for the children. You understand what I'm saying? Rely on Allah. Allah says, whatever you do, teach with tawakkal, reliance. Or do you think that Islam teaches us to beg? Yes, inside the human being, there's an awareness, a consciousness, and you're running around begging. You are teaching your scholars, you're reviving people's lives, and you're running around the dunya begging for money. Don't take back what I'm saying, but this is the reality. Is this not? What was I saying? Yes, what was I saying? So that was small room. I sat in my room. Alhamdulillah, I started doing dhikr. After a few days, one person came, two came, three came, one friend came, another friend came, third came, fourth came. As they said, shall we not get a place? There are lots of us. Subhanallah. One telephone, he said, I can make the phone. I couldn't phone or ask my sheikh. I said, it's not in my control. that I have just control of this room. If that place goes bigger, then I'll go to the other place. What can I do? If a place don't exist, then I requested Hazrat Sahab. And the Sheikh Sahab, Hazrat Sahab replied that, yes, if you get a place, then take it. Then, mashallah, the Hazrat Sahab's permission came. They said, there's a house there, we can get this place. Then we took the house, and a new place, property. And there are many people here who started in that house, in that journey. There are people here, put your hands up in the house. Put your hands up if you're in the house. There, this is where it started. That small khanka, we started from there. SubhanAllah. One person used to sell alcohol. He had an alcohol shop. And he used to have an off license. He said, who is this dervish who's coming? He passed by there. I said, listen, hey, yaar. And he cooled down calmly, started crying, shaking. He became a Muslim. MashaAllah. And his children are probably sat here now. He said, this khanka, I want to make the khanka, he said. I want to donate. He stopped alcohol, off license, and shop. All haram stopped. Believe me, he used to be sat down in the winter outside in front of my house. All night long, he used to do dhikr, sat there. Unique dervish, he was unique dervish. Abdul Aziz was his name. MashaAllah, his children are coming. His children coming. And they used to come with his children in their laps and their satay probably now for dhikr. And he, MashaAllah, put the carpet in the khanka. Yes, small house it was. It was a big room we had for prayer, dhikr. And imagine the spirituality in my life. I spent my life. The spirituality in the khanka I cannot share with you. So, he went. Then our colleagues used to come. I remember our colleagues, we do dua for them. Sufi Yasin Sahib used to come. SubhanAllah. Very nice person he was, mashallah. Very nice naat he used to recite. Nasheed. Sufi Yasin Sahib. Nasheed used to recite. And most of all, our colleagues, friends who, mashallah, stayed with me, stuck with me, whose favors are upon me, I cannot forget them. They are my very beloved colleagues, friends. And the barrister Hashmi Sahib, mashallah. Sayyid. Very beautiful lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an extremely nice person he was. Supporter, he guided me in the start. He supported me. Lots and lots he stayed with me, supported me. Today he's not in this world. May Allah on his grave send billions of mercies. Billions of mercies. And may Allah give him the elevated status of the lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a true lover. Whenever the name came of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the tears would come from his eyes. And mashallah, he'd start to shake, and the tears, 3 hours if I sat with him, Hashmi Sahib, he wouldn't get tired. Dhikr, he said, let's carry on dhikr Habib. Nasheeds, he was a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I had good company with him, and mashallah, all night long, we used to sit there, talk, discuss. Very nice person he was. Allah, may Allah give him the high level, high status, and mashallah, he passed away. So all the colleagues, they built it grew, and that was, space was small then. Then the person came and said, should we not get a bigger khanka? I said, what khanka are we going to get now? Yes, after all these years. And they said, we've seen a place, it's a very good place, and the building's empty. I said, what's there? They said, nothing, it's not a pub. They said, no, it's just, I said, go and put the compass. If the Kaaba direction is straight, then get that place. Yes, if it's bent, if it's off the angle, it's not 0 degrees. They went in the morning, they put the compass there, it was totally straight, just like you're praying salah here now. I said, do the deal, done. Deal done. I said, don't stop, doesn't matter how much it goes to auction, there it go, buy it. Just like in Bradford, they've done that, mashallah. Mashallah. Yes, they've done that, isn't it? Extension. So this is cool. Like, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. They never showed off, didn't become big heads, never spoke nonsense, we are this, we are that, nothing. Be grateful to Allah, He gives the place, then Allah sends the people there, and we do dhikr there. It's a good place, then we sleep there as well if it's a good place. Then we eat there as well, then we have breakfast there as well, and then we don't leave that place. Yes, you have to force them to get out. Yes, they give us such good food, we're sat there ready. Maybe after Isha, see what you get now after Isha? Will you get the food, the drink? Yes, mashallah, good hosts we have. The Gujars, mashallah, the Gujars are great hosts. You know the Gujars? Yes, very fantastic people. They don't leave you empty handed. If you're hungry, they fill your stomach, then you go. They go fill your stomach. You've come to our homes, we'll give you good food, good breakfast, sit. Mashallah, the Gujar, so I had the company of the Gujar. So as I was saying to you, that what is that deed that will take most of us to paradise? That was what I was saying in the beginning, yeah? Tell me, what can that deed be? Salah, fasting, hajj, I've told you. that if it's accepted, then definitely they're great deeds. But why will fewer people go? Will be stood in the line. People like me who said, no, I did 5 years, 500 years, Allah give me the rewards. Then I'll say, hey, you'll be asked the hisab. Then give the hisab for your eyes, for your teeth, for your nose. Then all your salah will go down the drain. Where you can put the fajr salah then. Say, Allah, put your tahajjud for your eyes. Were you grateful for the eyes? Will there be anything that will be saved? Allah say, give me the account for your eyes, for your body, for your limbs, all goods. You'll have to trade off your deeds and nothing will be left. What's the answer? There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. What's the Prophet ﷺ telling us? No. In the reality, that person, doesn't matter whatever deed you do, you will go to paradise due to the mercy of Allah, not due to the deeds. Yeah? So always be hopeful for the mercy of Allah. So what is that deed now? That so many people will go into paradise, and mostly people in paradise will be due to the action. So if you learn that today, then you reach, alhamdulillah, I'm not going to do anything else in my life, I'm just going to do this action. We should say that, really, isn't it? I'm just going to do this deed, I'm going to pull on this deed, I'm going to emphasize on this deed, so that most of us go into paradise. My friends, who will those people, they will be, listen clearly now, listen clearly. Who will those people be? Those who save themselves from the sins. Subhanallah. That person who lives in the life and he staves off the sins. The one who leaves the sins most of all, who's cautious, he will be the most successful. Subhanallah. Understand the point here? The formula? The formula? That if you save yourself from the sins, if you have no burden on your back, you will rise up light from the grave. Totally light, like floating in the sky, and you will go into paradise. Nothing will stop you. You will fly through the bridge of Sirat into paradise. Because you have no sins to your name. So today in this world, if we want to go to paradise whilst we're living, we have the intention, then more than amal salihat, we should have this deed in parallel. Because we'll have hisab for our deeds. And it's through the mercy of Allah, due to our deeds, Allah will give us paradise. And we are not capable of hisab. But even then, keep doing good deeds, righteous deeds, worship, prayer. Understand what I'm saying? But in parallel, leave the sins. So what is the amal that's most important for us as believers? Due to which? What is that deed? To leave the sins. See, is it easy to pray tahajjud, to umrah, to do hajj? But it's very hard to leave lying. I'll try to leave lying, we say. I'll try. We can pray tahajjud, it's easy to pray tahajjud, pray, but I can't leave backbiting. It's too hard. I can't leave backbiting. And it's not a minor punishment for backbiting. It's not a minor punishment for backbiting. No. The amazing thing is the human being, that he lives a life of caution and he's running away from the sins. The sins you can do externally and internally. There's two types of sins. And we don't work hard to eliminate those sins. If you ask someone, oh, yaar, I pray salah. He's a haji. He just came back from hajj. He's going to go on umrah again. He's come back from umrah. He's bought the ticket already for hajj. He's regular in going to the Haramain Sharifain, we say. He's pious. But there are thousands who are not. And there are thousands who don't leave the sins. Understand? So what's the most dangerous thing for us? Is the sins. And who are the people who go most into paradise? Those who leave the sins. Migrate from the sins. Now those people who migrate from the sins, Allah has given them the title Muttaqi. They are the Muttaqeen. That's the title of the people who run away from the sins. And the whole month Allah gave us Ramadan to practice leaving the sins. There's no other worship in Ramadan. Remember this for next time. There's no worship in Ramadan special. There's only one ibadah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That keep on running away from the sins for 30 days of Ramadan. That's it. Leave the sins. And then Allah gives the reward. If 30 days, Allah says, reward all your life long, if you then leave the sins. Imagine the reward then. What paradise that person will get. What rank he will get. What status he will get. So should try. I should try. If Allah has ordered us to do something, then most definitely it's not difficult for us to do that. Our brain says hard, but what do we need to do? وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا. Just make some effort, Allah says. Inshallah, I won't do this, Allah. That's what we need to say. I'll think about it. I can't do it. It's too hard. Allah, give me tawfiq. No, say, inshallah, I won't do it. Lying, inshallah, I won't lie. Backbiting, inshallah, I won't backbite. Inshallah, I won't commit fraud. In the Masjid Nabawi, the Sahaba Ikram were sat there, the Jamaat of the Companions, and one person who was about to come, and the Sahaba that were coming in the Masjid, and the Prophet said, let me tell you something now. The Prophet said to his companions, And they were all alert at that time. What's the Prophet ﷺ going to tell us now? The Prophet ﷺ says, see that door? Today I'll show you something. And I'm just sharing you the hadith in my style now. But this is what was said. SubhanAllah, the Sahaba said, yeah, what's the Prophet ﷺ going to show us today? He said, you see this door? I want to show you something. What's that? The Sahaba said, that you want to see someone from Jannah? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Do you want to see a person from Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said that the person who will come into this door, he will be from Jannah, paradise. All the Sahaba ready, waiting. Whoa, that will he be wearing some nice clothes? Will the angels be with him? Everyone's ready, alert to look who's going to come through the door. So the door's open, and a person, a villager from the desert location, simple torn clothes, dust on his body, disheveled, and he came easily into the masjid, and he came inside and he sat down. All the Sahaba looking at him, that he's a Jannati, mashallah. Who's the Prophet? Whatever word comes from the tongue of the Prophet, then how can we do? They're not like us. Like he said, keep their dead. Oh, did anyone say there's any proof for the bid? Or Allah have a think about it? That's our hal today. When we hear the words of our Prophet, we think about it. We'll analyze it. That's our response. But the Sahaba, they saw that and they believed. And then the second day, the Prophet said, should we show you a Jannati? They thought another person come. Then they saw the same villager. He came in the door. Third day, the Prophet, the same person came in the door. And the Abdullah bin Elias was sat there. And he said, ooh, this is amazing person. That he must be a proper person of paradise. And the Sahaba, mashallah, they were like you. They thought, let me see the deed and action he does so I can also enter paradise. So let's go with him. So he's about to leave his home and he went after him, walking behind him, following him. And he went to his house, he said, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Why have you come following me? He said, can I be your guest for 2-3 days? I just want to stay the night, I'll go in the morning. But can I just stay here the night? I just like your blessed company. He said, yeah, please come in, no worries. Come in, you can be my guest. So he brought his bag, his bedding like you have, and he put it to the side, he lay down. But he didn't want to sleep, he wanted to watch him. What's the action he does? What's the tahajjud he prays? What nafal does he pray? Long Quran recitation in the night? Because that's what we're thinking, that these people go to paradise who worship praise. That's what I'm explaining to you. Explain. Those are not the people of Jannah. Listen, who are the people of paradise? So this is the Prophet of Allah ﷺ who's given us education. This is a hadith I'm sharing with you. The Prophet ﷺ is developing us, teaching us, coaching us how to get to paradise. So the Sahabi stayed awake in the night and he's wrapped in his blanket. He's watching, spying. The Sahabi got up, he prayed Isha, he did wudu, and he's sleeping, snoring. He's snoring. He didn't get tahajjud. He works in the village area, in the desert. He's got to do the farming. He got up in the morning, did wudu and prayed salam, went to his work. And the Sahabi thought that maybe he's tricking me. Maybe he doesn't want to show off in front of me. Tomorrow let me see what he does then. Maybe he's hiding. Then he said, I'll stay another night tomorrow. Then he came the night. Can I stay? He said, yeah, come in. Then I said, let me see. Maybe I dropped off. I couldn't see what he was doing. Then he was more alert to spy on him, to watch him. Then he was ready to observe that Sahabi, the Jannati. He said, okay, yeah, you can be my guest. Come inside. He took him inside. He gave him some space. He said, right, let me watch him tonight. Then the same thing happened. He went to sleep and he got up in the morning, prayed salah and went. Third day, the same thing. Third day, he said, I couldn't understand. Why is he a Jannati? He hasn't done anything special. Maybe Allah knows best and Allah's Rasul knows best. But he's just totally plain, simple. He comes home tired after Isha, sleeps, gets up, prays salah and goes to work. And he's a Jannati. So what's he doing? So in the morning, when the time came, then he said, I'm departing now, my colleague. But the reason I came, I did not fulfill my objective. He said, why did you come to be a guest at my house? He said that maybe you came to get... That's why we go to people like that, isn't it? To ask for money or ask for dunya. He said, what was your purpose of coming? Why did you come? He said that mashallah, he was the son of a good person, Abdullah bin Ilyas. And he said that my objective was this, that three times when you entered in the house, Allah's Prophet said, gave the good news that you are Jannati, that you are inhabitant of paradise. And when he said that, then I came after you to look on what action you do, but I couldn't see any special deed that you did to make you a person of paradise. So please tell me the secret. What do you do to get paradise? He said, I don't do anything. Let me think with you. Let's sit down and ponder. Reflect. He said, oh, I understand. Because Allah Ta'ala inspires ilham, because the deen had to spread. So if me and you can correct ourselves, so Allah gave that thought in the heart of that sahabi. So mashallah, I'm speaking and you speaking, then we'll start doing this deed. That's the reason for discussing. So he said, oh, I've understood. Why did Allah's Prophet ﷺ say that I am from paradise? Because he said, since I came into Islam, my colleague, my sahabi, then one thing I understood. And he said, what's that? He said, I will not commit any sins, do any wrong. He said, I have to shun the sins. Then he said a beautiful thing that I am explaining to you, and that we have to practice this. He said that especially one action that I do, I will share with you that I save myself from that. He said, I do not backbite against anybody. I control my tongue. I control my tongue. He said, as long as I've controlled my tongue, then the rest of the sins have also stopped coming from my tongue. That's just one habit I've got, and I've made it a strong habit that I do not backbite. And this, his name, the Hashmi Sahib that I mentioned to you, great person, Rahmatullah Alayh. Rahmatullah Alayh. His life, I saw this habit, he never backbited against anybody. Never backbited. Never did I see him, hear him backbiting. Great habit he had, mashallah, great habit. And I noted this in his company, mashallah, that he never backbited. So, this companion said that I don't backbite. I made a promise. So the Sahabi came, one companion came to the Prophet ﷺ, said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please give me an advice. And please give me a concise advice, not lengthy, just tell me good advice from your blessed statement. So just 10 second madrasa, and mashallah you can have the whole Darul Uloom there. Just by short, brief statements. And if that point comes into the heart, the Holy Prophet, some one hadith of his is enough for the life of a believer. You don't need the whole of Bukhari. The first hadith of Sahih Bukhari, the actions are according to intentions. End of story. Enough for the life. As Umar radiallahu anhu raises in Sahih Bukhari, is the first hadith he brought to Sahih Bukhari. He said, whoever understands this hadith, you don't need Bukhari, the rest of it, the thousands of hadith. The whole one hadith, the meaning of the hadith, this will cover this. The actions are according to intentions. The everything of yours is according to intention. If you correct your niyyah, all your deeds will be correct. You understand what I'm saying? So, just he said, the Sahabi said, O Prophet of Allah, please give me a concise deen. So the Prophet practically gave him nasiha, and the Prophet opened his mouth, took his blessed tongue out, and he grabbed it with his hands and said, that if you control this organ, then you will become successful. Successful. Control your tongue. In other words, that all the sins, the root cause of all sins is what? The tongue. So now I'm telling you that methodology, that we need to leave the sins, and to leave the sins, what should we go towards more? What should we control more? Our? This hadith is said that when a person gets up from the bed, then first of all the tongue, his tongue, that he says, for the sake of Allah, the tongue says to the body of the man, because your organs speak to you when you get up in the morning. So the tongue says, please don't destroy me for the sake of Allah. Your tongue tells you, your hands, your feet, your eyes. May not be that I stop seeing. May it not be that I stop speaking, says the tongue. May it not be that I stop seeing, says the eyes. For the sake of Allah, please look after us. Who are they saying? The tongue is saying this to the owner of that body. That please don't do anything wrong during the day. That if you do the sin, then I will get the destruction, says the tongue, says the eyes, says the hands, the body. So the whole body is begging us when we get up in the morning. This is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that our body is reminding us not to do good, begging us. So another hadith, as Anas radiallahu anhu raises hadith, that that person, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the person who has protected his tongue, then mashallah, the person who has controlled his tongue, then he is safe from the fire of Jahannam. The person, all the deeds can take us to hell due to the tongue being misused. The tongue. Tuck, 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 we start rattling the tongue, rattling. Many people will wake up as disbelievers. Many people wake up as disbelievers in the hereafter because from their tongue they said such a word, they won't even realize that they've said wrong and they became disbelievers. And today we know that there's criticism of the deen, there's criticism, astaghfirullah, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person can imagine, if he has that standard, the Holy Allah says in the Quran, that you cannot even raise your voice in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all your deeds will be wasted. So if a person jokes against the sunnah today, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah, if we mock them and joke against them, the ummah, the so-called believers, we laugh at them. We just on the beard, on Imam Sharif turban, on the face, on the appearance, on dress code. We say, forget the outsiders, our own family members. One person said that I started to keep the beard, and my family members from Pakistan are saying, don't keep the beard, don't keep the beard. They're warning me from Pakistan on the phone. How dare you do this action of the sunnah, they said to me. Thousands of miles away. They're calling him. There's a fatwa of the ulama, of the scholars, that that person is free from iman. The person who criticizes or jokes of the sunnah of the Prophet, more than half of iman's gone. If he does tawbah, then he has to renew the nikah with the wife as well. Because the iman is gone. The iman is gone because they don't control the tongue and mock the deen. Today, if we practice this, that we control our tongues from today, then I don't want to say something wrong from my tongue. I don't want to speak wrong. Control our tongues completely. And then start doing mujahidah. Work hard on this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Though if we get included amongst those people, then in hereafter whose sins are less, and their burden will be less, and they will go into paradise, more of them. So definitely do good deeds, righteous deeds, but don't trust and rely on your deeds, because we'll have to give hisab for the deeds. Grab hold of this formula that make your sins reduced. Reduce your sins. Doesn't matter what happens, don't move your tongue unnecessarily. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. Now, what's the cure so that we can reduce the sins and eliminate the sins? What's the cure that will take us towards that? So I'll tell you some tips that according to the hadith. And may Allah give us the ability to practice these tips. So how do I control my tongue then? What's the way I can do this? Yes, because the tongue is out of control. It's loose. It's wild. This small piece of flesh is not controlling me. It's not doing the right thing. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ then gave us the research and the method that the believer... So I'll tell you the meaning of a hadith. If a believer, if he develops two qualities in his life, if we have these qualities inside us, but we need to revive them, polish them, clean them. We have these qualities. We have these capabilities. We need to make right the wrong. So there are two qualities within us. We must make them apparent. Subhanallah, there are two great qualities that are within us. Two great qualities. Shall I tell you what they are? Yes, the Holy Prophet has given us this methodology. So then the person, he will learn to control his tongue. He will learn to control the sins. Otherwise will be destroyed. And what are those two things? Silence is the first one. Silence. And alongside silence, the second thing is that it creates the silence. So silence and dhikrullah. Two things in combination. The Prophet ﷺ has given us this formula. So silence, Abu Dharr Ghafari, he was a dervish sahabi. All the sahaba, but he is the Darvesh Sufi Sahabi. He had the black sheet wrapped around him, and he sat there, and he sat there in the corner of the masjid. And they said, what's happened to you, Abu Dharr? Why you sat here? What's the problem? He said that I heard from my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam this point, that isolation, seclusion is better than sitting too much amongst people. So where can I find a good colleague? He said that I thought, rather than a colleague, let me take the colleague of isolation, seclusion. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his first ibadah was what? What was his first worship? Was isolation, seclusion. He left everything, Makkah, he walked outside, he used to go to Hira, the cave of Hira. He didn't pray salah there, did he? He used to do muraqabah, meditation in isolation. Muraqabah. And his blessed wife would come and help him. He had good wives, they help the people to go do it. Yes, go and do dhikr inshallah. And mashallah, stay there 3 days. And they stay there a week and take your luggage with you as well. Oh no, I'll come in the evening. If you don't come tonight, then see what I do to you if you don't come tonight. May Allah forgive us having such wives like this. You took so long in the masjid. What do you do all the time? Dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. You always behind us. I've seen wives like this. Oh, give me a divorce quickly. I can't live with you. I want to go to that. They leave the house then for that. Astaghfirullah. The wife, then Bibi Khadija said, go to Hira and I will bring the food for you, my blessed husband. Subhanallah, from the house she would leave the wilderness and tell me, show me how can you climb the mount of Jabal al-Nur, the cave of Hira. And there's steps there now. And Hazrat Khadija, radiyallahu anha, may I be sacrificed, may my life be sacrificed on her. And she used to make food, cook the food. She'd take the food to her blessed husband by foot in the heat, then climbing the rocks, the mountain. And here, take this food, my blessed husband. And keep doing your work, the worship you're doing. Subhanallah. Great deed. And this was her ibadah. This was ibadah. Muraqbah. Because this is education for the ummah. The Prophet ﷺ was developing the ummah. That such a time will come. You won't be able to save yourself from the sins. It will be hard for you. And you'll need to do two actions. If you can do them, then it's best, the formula. that detach yourself from friendship, too much socializing. Let's go then drink tea and gupshup there. Let's go there and sit with that brother. How are you? Ki Allah, go to such a place where there's dhikr and sit there and do dhikrullah. If you travel, travel for dhikrullah. If you live in a place, then stay over in a khanqah. And if you want to see someone for the sake of it, look at the sheikh's face. So there's no prohibition. But go in the right direction. Travel for, when you come to the khanqah, have you sworn anyone since you come to the khanqah today? Tell me the truth. That have you sworn anyone? Have you backbited against anyone? Have you planned that we're going to go out there and do there, earn money, drinking, dossing? You know, heart doesn't feel like thinking about dunya when you're in the khanqah. Allah's Nabi said that these are the places of cure. This is the hospital. Why? Because two things you get. Silence in the khanqah and dhikrullah in the khanqah. Subhanallah. Dhikrullah will teach you silence. Even if you talk to someone, you talk about Wali Allah in the khanqah. You talk about your sheikh. Yaar, I'm like this, so I enjoyed the dhikr. And if you talk in the khanqah, there'll be talk about love and exchange of love and the dhikr and the but not dunya. You sat in the corner, he's in the marid, and he's talking about his sheikh, and talking about his sheikh. Fazalul Qais, he did this, and he did this. When did you come? I came like this. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I was like this, I was sinful. That's it. So you are keeping talking about your life and deen and the sheikh all night long. So this discussion will elevate you. Elevate you. You understand what I'm saying? So these are all means to leave the sins, great habits that we should develop. So leave the friends of the world, the dunya. You'll go meet a friend, you'll swear, talk dirty talk, backbiting. Oh, that man, you know, he's a waster, we're going to do him. Look, he done this, and look at that girl, look at that man, he did this. It cannot be that two people sin, they don't talk about third person. It cannot be. The hasad, envy, jealousy, hatred, gossiping, malice is churned out. That there's no need to go and meet a relative, waste of time. There's no need for unnecessary friends. And there's no need to extend relationships, contacts. Just keep your life refined, concise. Make friends with those who are friends of Allah. Good people, righteous people. That's in your control. Make good friends. So this is the tariqah, the method to eliminate the sins. This is the methodology. To eliminate the sins, this is the method that we should adopt: silence, adopt seclusion, solitude, isolation in your home, in the masjid. Most of all, you should spend the time with those people who have no story about dunya apart from Jannah and fear of hell and the rewards of Jannah and promotion in the hereafter. That's what we should talk about when we meet our friends. And we talk about our friends and the walis of Allah. Our sheikh, teacher, alhamdulillah, you won't do sins then. If you see that since 2-3 days you have come and left your homes, all the sins that you have left behind you, and all the words, the gossiping, the chit-chat, the gup-shup, all of that leave behind you. But if you're traveling outside, coming, eating, sleeping, but why? Because Allah Ta'ala says this, I've made a law. The environment that you're going to, you get a pure mahal, then the sins will be removed. And then that person gets the habit in this environment. That when you go back home, that these 3-4 days you'll see the khanqah, your friends, and peace and comfort. And slowly that tranquility will ease off. But the feeling remains. The beautiful feeling stays inside you, that the days you spend in the khanqah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So this is the tariqah, my friends. Who people will go most into paradise? With which worship, which deed? Those who most of all try to migrate from the sins. And the method to leave the sins is what? Adopt silence and do dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Okay? And dhikrullah, Allah's put that quality in dhikr, and mashallah. And the Naqshbandi order makes everyone silent through the dhikr. That we don't even do dhikr from the mouth. Allah says, do dhikr from your heart. Then move your heart and keep your tongue silent. Don't move your tongue, Allah says, when you do my dhikr. And Allah's made us give us a habit. Allah says, close your eyes, stop your physical tongue. How do you close your eyes? They always remain isolated. Even 1,000 people around you, close your eyes and go into dhikr. You are separate and you're sitting there remembering Allah, connected to Allah. Muraqabah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why don't we do this? Why do you make friendship with a person that who teach you and you can learn from him? Learn qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, alhamdulillah. Great way of life, great lifestyle. Otherwise, the cure that the Prophet ﷺ giving to us, then start that cure, start the medicine. So if you find a Naqshbandi sheikh, he teaches dhikr in the heart, say, sheikh, teach me the dhikr in the heart. He will teach you muraqabah and meditation. End of story. Success upon success. Every second of your life, try to be detached from the dunya. Even if you're in the dunya, you'll be in seclusion, isolation, solitude, because muraqabah and meditation is going to be. What is muraqabah? That every second, Allah Ta'ala, you're thinking about Allah in your heart. every second. All thinking about dunya goes, and the thinking of Allah Ta'ala comes into the heart. That's the dhikr that the Shaykh, the Naqshbandi Shaykh teaches, the muraqabah. This is a cure, muraqabah, meditation. Okay? Yes. So may Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq, ability, that we are amongst those people that we do the least of all sins, and the action that will take us most of all sins is the tongue. So control the tongue. How do you control the tongue? By doing more dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. That's it. That's it. You've heard that today. So have determination. And those people who have not learned dhikr, alhamdulillah, then learn dhikr and extend your life towards Allah. Shaitan will stop you. He'll divert you, deviate you. Say, don't do this. Say, no, Shaitan, I'm not listening to you. Whatever happens now, I've heard these hadith today. It said in the Quran, I will do the right thing. Dhikrullah, silence, and leave the sins and jump onto the deen. And experience this yourself, that how much benefit this will give to you, this formula. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Give adhan, let's pray salah. After that, we will do dhikr after Isha, inshallah, for a short while. After Isha, stay and we'll do dhikrullah.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa Azwaji Ummahatil Mu'minin wa Zurriyyatihi wa Ahli Baiti kama sallaita ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid usallim tasliman daiman awadan kathiran kathiran kathira Allahumma aghfir lana zunubana wa zulbana wa azlana wa jaddana wa khutbana wa madana kulla zalika innana Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واجعلنا بزمرتي يا كريم يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمرادنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا داعي البلايا ادفع بلاياتنا يا داعي البلايا ادفع بلاياتنا يا داعي البلايا ادفع بلاياتنا اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم عافنا في قلبي اللهم عافنا في بدني لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ جتنی قسم نے ہمیں پالا میرے مولا ہم اس کا حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے یا اللہ اپنے ماں باپ کی ایک رات کا بھی حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے ایک گھڑی کا بھی حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے جس طرح ہماری ماؤں نے رات کو جاگ کر ہمیں دودھ پلایا یا اللہ خود سردی میں سوتری ہمیں گرج کرم جگہوں پہ لٹایا. اے میرے مولا ہم اس کی ممتا کو سلام کرتے ہیں, اس کی محبتوں کو سلام کرتے ہیں. اے میرے مولا جنت میں اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جن لوگوں نے ہماری روحانی تربیت کی میرے مولا اپنی شان و شان ان کو میرے مولا بدارج عطا فرما, مقامات عطا فرما. اے میرے مولا ہماری روحانی تربیت کرنے والوں کی یا اللہ ایک زندگی لافانی نصیب فرما. یا اللہ اونچے درجے کا مقام عطا فرما. اے میرے مولا ہمیں ہماری اولادوں کو ہم آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا. یا اللہ ہمیں لادینی سے بچا, یا اللہ لادینی سے بچا, فتنوں سے بچا. یا اللہ ہمیں نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت پہ چلنے والا بنا, آپ کا عاشق سنت بنا. یا اللہ قرآن کی حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ ہماری مساجدوں کی خانقاہوں کی حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ذکر کو بلند فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ذکر کو بلند فرما. ہماری خانقاہوں میں یا اللہ تو نور پتا فرما. یا اللہ خانقاہوں کو سرحا گاہ بنا, دنیا کی تربت گاہ بنا. یا اللہ لوگوں کو نئی جنریشن کو نئی اولادوں کو اس کا فائدہ پہنچا. اے میرے مولا گھر گھر میں اپنا ذکر عام فرما. یا اللہ گھر گھر میں اپنا ذکر عام فرما. یا اللہ ہماری خانقاہوں کو وسعت عطا فرما. یا اللہ جو خانقاہوں کی حفاظت کرتے ہیں, خدمتیں کرتے ہیں, خرچ کرتے ہیں میرے مولا, یا اللہ تم اپنی شان شان ان کو ترقی نصیب فرما, ان کے حالاتوں کو بہتر فرما. اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمیں تو اپنے اسی راستے پہ مرد دم تک ہم اسی راستے پہ فرما. میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں ان لوگوں نے فرما, ان لوگوں نے نام ہمیں بتا میرے مولا جو دین کو چھوڑ کے واپس اٹھے پہنچے لگے. میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں استقامت نصیب فرما, ہمیں صبر نصیب فرما, ہمیں ہر حالت میں اپنا بنا. میرے مولا اپنی محبت اور خوب نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں اپنی محبت کی خاطر سفر نصیب فرما, صحبت نصیب فرما. یا میرے مولا ہمیں دین کا دائی بنا. یا اللہ ہمارے بچوں کو دین کا دائی بنا. یا اللہ ہمیں بچوں کو ہمارا وارث بنا, ہماری اولادوں کو ہمارا وارث بنا, ہمارا صدقہ بنا. میرے مولا یا رحم رحیم اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے میرے مولا جتنے دن ہم نے مجلس گزار کی میرے مولا اور خانقاہ میں جو وقت گزارا کیا اپنے بارگاہ رحمت میں رحمت سے قبول فرما. ہم سب کو گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہمارے روحانی درجات نصیب فرما. یا رحم پھر ہمیں آنا نصیب فرما, پھر ہمیں یہ صحبتیں نصیب فرما, پھر ہم اپنے شیخ کی صحبت نصیب فرما, ذکر کی مجالس نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہم ان نعمتوں کا شکر کر ہی نہیں کر سکتے, ہمارے پاس الفاظ ہی نہیں ہیں میرے مولا. یہ سب تیرا فضل و کرم ہے میرے مولا, ہمیں شکر گزار بندہ بننا. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, سلام علی المرسلین, الحمد للہ.